Well, I guess without further ado, we want to get into the Week in Review. It's Kevin Stewart for Jim Glover, and there's always the issues to talk about that have been happening in both Cobourg and Port Hope this week, and of course, we'll be on top of all that. Get to Port Hope a little bit later, but first we want to turn things over to John Hill once more, who's going to introduce our hot-button topic. We've been getting a lot of action on this
Kevin. What I've asked people to do is to mail in questions to me, to be put to our two guests today, on the issue of the Northumberland Medical Arts Inc. And for ease of expression, from here on out, we will call the NMAI the clinic. So I think it's much easier to say the Northumberland Medical Arts Inc. Now, our format today is that we are going to put a number of questions to each of our guests. Our guests, of course, are Deborah McCarthy, who is a counselor for the town of Cobourg, and Ken Strauss, who is with the Cobourg Taxpayers Association. These people are taking opposing stands on a decision that was taken at last Monday's Committee of the Whole to support or give a waiver to the clinic of about over $300,000. Deborah McCarthy spoke out vocally in favor and actually was one of the main cheerleaders at council for this grant, and Ken Strauss had made a delegation to council previous saying that this was not a good idea. So we're going to, the format today is that I've taken a bundle of questions that have been submitted by our listeners and condensed them down. So I have five questions for Deborah McCarthy, five for Ken Strauss, and hopefully we will get through most of them, I hope, and for that reason, our guests have wanted me to say that because of the tight schedule we're on, we are not able to take telephone calls or questions today. We're going to try to get through as many of these questions that you have posed to me as we can. So without further ado, welcome, Deborah.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you, John.
This is the first question going out to you. You told council you were persuaded to give full support to the clinic because it's a not-for-profit corporation. However, it's been pointed out that a not-for-profit is not precluded from making money. Convicted murderer Helmut Buxbaum made millions running a series of not-for-profits. Are you not confusing not-for-profit with charity?
No, I'm not. Not-for-profit organizations are governed by their articles of incorporation, and what it means is that, and it's defined, and I'm just trying to find, I wanted to find that definition, which I read at council, a non-profit corporation is a legal entity separate from its members and directors formed for purposes other than generating a profit to be distributed to its members, directors, or offices. And that's exactly what this is. So once a profit is realized by the board of the clinic, then that money will go forward to the hospital. So for me, the reason it's not a charity is, and the difference with a charity would be that tax receipts would be issued for a fundraising campaign to launch the building, but that wouldn't have been a feasible approach because this building is going up. The construction will be throughout this year, whereas a capital campaign for a charity would take many years. However, down the road, when it's taken over by the hospital, then it will have a charitable status. But for now, it's a nonprofit corporation.
Ken, any response on that?
I guess a couple of responses. For one thing, the difference between a nonprofit corporation and a normal corporation is that one has shareholders, the other one doesn't, but has members. There is no reason that money that is earned in excess of requirements cannot be retained by a nonprofit corporation and used to further the goals of that corporation. Deborah seems to make a large point that they say that they're going to give any money to the hospital. That's true, but any of these goals of the corporation can be amended. In fact, it's even easier to amend those for a nonprofit than for a normal corporation. Just another point, and Deborah might not want to give us any money, the Cobourg Taxpayers Association is a nonprofit corporation. I don't think she'd be willing to advocate giving us $300,000.
Well, we're going to move on. Sort of at the end of the program, if you want to talk about things. This one is directed to Ken. A series of radio ads by the Corporate Taxpayers Association notes that the clinic is a corporation located outside of Cobourg. The majority of directors do not even live in town. Many of them have Cobourg addresses, but they're rural route addresses. The question for you is, so what? Why does this matter?
Actually, I guess it doesn't really matter a great deal to me, but some people seem to think that it does. Just to clarify, the corporation is registered as a Port Hope corporation, and of the current directors, I believe only one actually lives within the city limits of Cobourg. Others live in Mississauga, Port Hope, and other areas that are not part of Cobourg. I think the main reason it's important is that we're asking the Cobourg taxpayers to fund this group, whereas the group legally is not a Cobourg group.
Deborah? I think I'll answer with what Ken said at the outset, was that I don't think it really matters, because this group came together, this project came from the hospital board. Four members on the clinic board come from the hospital. That the other members of this clinic board are from outside of town. They will be associated with the health care in this community via the family health team or the hospital or other specialties. So I would have to say that the building is in Cobourg. The services will be offered in Cobourg. That the directors are from out of the community doesn't change the goals of this organization. The clinic is to assist the Northumberland community in the recruitment and retention of physicians and other regulated healthcare professionals, and the other one is supporting the provision of a community health services by providing premises designed for community health related services in Northumberland, and the buildings in Cobourg. So the addresses for me is not relevant because of what the articles of incorporation are.
Next question to Deborah. As part of the motion passed at the Committee of the Whole last Monday night, the question was to decrease revenue, grant of over $300,000 would have to be made up by increasing taxes. It was also pointed out that by giving the clinic these funds, it could diminish future grants available to the hospital. You were quoted as saying, "I personally support 100% waiving the fees. If it affects the level of donation to the hospital foundation, so be it." Isn't your position detrimental to the needs of our hospital?
Well, again, I'll say that this project is the hospital. As far as I'm concerned, they are one and the same. And so the increase in taxes for this, let's put it this way. What we're talking about is the waiving of the development fees. Now, that is lost revenue. There's no doubt about it. In this particular case, though, it should be noted that the hospital was originally designed to have this clinic, and so all of the infrastructure, the kinds of things development fees would go for, was done at the time. So we're fortunate. It just so happens in this case much of that infrastructure is done. But yes, it is lost revenue to the town if this project is supported, because, and this is critical, and I will be releasing this. The mayor and the deputy mayor have created an information bulletin that I will send to the people that emails me. So think of it. $300,000 and the reason this is needed is because of the contingency fees that the banks are asking for, the contingency funding that's critical to getting this construction project going. The revenue streams, once the building's occupied, it will be $50,000 a year projected, and then it just gradually increases throughout phases of the project until the hospital owns it. So let's come back to my comment. If it means not funding the foundation, so be it. This is a one-time waiver. We are on the books to support the foundation $100,000. So it will be a hit financially, but because this is what I call a long-term investment, investment that ultimately, and listen to this, folks, the articles of incorporation say that when the money is reverted to the hospital, they can use it for the foundation, i.e. capital purchase of equipment, or for other needs, but it is up to the hospital. So the foundation's investment will actually be solidified and supported through this, but no doubt it will be a very trying for council to pay for both.
Okay. Deborah has made a huge number of comments. I'm not sure I can even remember all of them. I'll try to go through them one at a time. It's a bit of a misstatement to say that it's just a case of Coburg not getting the money. In provincial legislation, the money not received or foregone by grants must be made up from general revenues or from other sources. Consider that the $300,000 is roughly 1.5% of all property taxes collected in the city of Coburg. That's for both residential and industrial users. One of our main objections to this is that it's grossly unfair to other clinics. For example, many have suggested that we'd like to have more specialists in town. Dr. Hazard, who I think is a well-regarded specialist, is not going to be part of this clinic. And why should he be paying more rent than these doctors just because they incorporated as a not-for-profit, not to be confused with a charity, which has to report all of its finances to the public each year? A not-for-profit does not file a publicly accessible tax return.
I'm not allowed to rebuttal, am I?
No, we're good. Well, we'll probably, if we get through the questions, we'll ask for general
that's
comments.
That's painful to not rebut to that.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I have no idea how a specialist such as Dr. Hazard organizes his practice. He's on his own. He has a building. I don't know if he rents it or owns it, but that is a business model. Any specialist or any other even physician not associated with the family health team can rent space like all the other doctors. There's no advantage. These doctors in the clinic are paying rent. And so how other medical specialists organize their offices is all over the map. Some own it, some don't. So I don't see the relevance of that comment.
Okay, Ken, next question. Councillor Brian Darling was worried that waiving municipal fees could be a violation of Section 106(2)(d) of the Municipal Act that bans waivers for commercial enterprises. Is council breaking the law by voting to waive these proper municipal fees? And if not, is council breaking its own bylaw by in the making of this town grant?
I'm not a lawyer, so obviously my legal opinion has limited utility. I believe council did request a legal opinion and was told that maybe it was not breaking the law. However, reading from Section 106 of the Municipal Act, a simple-minded interpretation might say something different. Anyway, the exact words are, "The municipality shall not exist directly or indirectly any manufacturing business or other industrial or commercial enterprise through granting of bonuses for that purpose." And they go on to describe what a bonus is, but basically it's money given by the town to an organization. And I believe by any normal interpretation, the physician is a commercial enterprise.
Excuse me. The clinic is a non-for-profit corporation. We are supporting the development of the clinic. The physicians in the building are simply tenants. They are paying rent. That has nothing to do with Clause 406. It is the clinic that it would be a matter for discussion of the Municipal Act Section 406. And the point is that there's broad benefit to the community by having this clinic, both for the hospital and for the future of healthcare. And I don't want to leave this show without talking about that, where healthcare is going, that this is an absolutely strategic development for the healthcare in this community.
Oh, if I could say a couple of words, I assume you mean 106, not 406.
Sorry.
I have no idea what 406
yes,
refers
sorry.
To.
Sorry.
But,
yeah, there's sections under 106.
But the commercial operation is the building. The fact that the physicians are renting space, I think, is totally irrelevant to the 106 question.
The board of the clinic is the landlord of the clinic. They are a nonprofit. The commercial enterprises that they're renting to, be it the family health team, the other services, pay rent to the board. The board then takes the profits that it would make after expenses, and it goes to the hospital. For me, the physicians are separate from this clause.
Well, I'm sorry if it's just for you. I think it's a question of legality, not of your opinion.
Okay. Well, let's go on. Councillor McCarthy, you were quoted as saying, there has been a perception in the community that this money is in the pockets of an elite medical fraternity. In my mind, nothing could be further from the truth. What is the truth?
Here are the facts I know. That the original idea for two major things, that the hospital was built. It was a tremendous community undertaking in West Northumberland, and the hospital got built in Northumberland. Then the Ministry of Health provided opportunities for medical care and communities to be organized with different models. Coburg doctors rose together and applied to become a family health team, which is a holistic care of patients, meaning you have your doctor, but there are other support services. So they in turn, with the hospital board, said it is very important for the primary care in this community that we get a clinic going. So the doctors that are involved in this, some are on the board of the clinic, but the seed money that was required to encourage financing from the banks, it's about $3.5 million, came from community-minded investors. And I did ask Doug Mann, the lawyer, I said, of that, how many investors do you have in that pocket of $3.5 million? He said, 40. I said, how many of those are doctors? And he said, 8. So right there, this is a community project. And the reason it doesn't go into the hands of the doctors is because the doctors in their family health team will pay rent, no different than any other tenant in the building. The doctors that are on the board of the clinic are part of a nonprofit board. There is no money paid. These are volunteer board members. The money goes to the hospital. So I just don't understand why people believe that there's money in the pocket of the doctors. And the other point is, when we say a turnkey operation, that means this building is designed to the current standards for medical art facilities, both with respect to the building code and its facilities. But the doctors pay rent. It's not money in their pocket.
I don't know what to say. Obviously, the doctors pay rent. But what does this money go to? Does it go to reducing their rent?
The nonprofit corporation is incorporated.
We're back.
The business plan is organized by the nonprofit corporation called the Northumberland Medical Arts, Inc. They will have a business plan to manage the building, to pay off its debt, and then it will return ownership and the revenue stream to the hospital.
Okay, so what is the benefit to the Coburg people of giving $300,000 to the clinic? No, this is not an option for you to jump in and say the same thing over again. The fact that it's a nonprofit corporation says absolutely nothing about whether the physicians achieve lower rent because the building costs less to build by getting a $300,000.
They're not paying lower rent, Ken. They're paying higher rent than they're paying now.
Of course they're paying higher rent than they are now. It's a far nicer building. Would you prefer to be in the basement of the mall or in a nice new three-story shining?
Well, and that's another point. I spoke with the executive director of the family health team, and the reality is that the family health team spread out through the community. They're bursting at the seams. There were changes going to be made anyways. So that's another nice synchronicity of this project, is that it brings them together. So what is the benefit to the community? When you bring the family health teams together, all of the support services are in one spot. And what that means...
We're not saying it's not a good idea. What we're saying is exceedingly bad public policy to give $300,000 to a particular group of physicians and the nonprofit, whatever that may mean in the future, after they've amended their Articles of Incorporation.
You're saying amended the Articles of Incorporation. I cannot imagine that under what circumstances that might occur. The clinic board is made up of physicians and members of the public. But I have to finish on what is the benefit. The revenue streams that the town of Coburg could never possibly meet by the hospital asking for assistance will start the minute the building is going to be occupied. So this facility will pay taxes. It's about taxes to Coburg of $140,000 a year. Yes, there are taxes that are being paid in the rent where they are, but the trade-off is that all of the primary care is in one building and all of the extra services are coming on stream, which can only help the citizens of this community.
Ken, Councillor McCarthy made a pitch Monday night that such a medical complex could evolve into a position that would allow Coburg people to have a walk-in clinic. At present, patients without a local physician must attend either at Port Hope or go to emergency. Wouldn't this be a benefit to the patients in Coburg and a cost saving for the hospital?
Of course it'd be a benefit to the people of Coburg. However, we have absolutely no reason to believe that this will happen. And in fact, if the council grants this to the clinic, there'll be no way to enforce even a verbal promise that they might have a walk-in clinic. I don't know. It may or may not happen.
Agree that we have no assurance that a walk-in clinic, and we've got to be careful about this. The Port Hope Community Center is organized as a walk-in clinic model, and that's a very different thing from a family health team. What I was hoping for is that this group of family health team doctors would offer after-hours and weekend services that would mean that their patients, and there are 26,000 patients associated with this family health team, that's a pretty considerable number of folks in the area, that they do not have to use emergency. Now, emergency does offer what they call it's not a walk-in clinic, but it's the blue zone. It's a different in the triage system, it's a different model of care. But basically what I'm hoping, and I'm not saying I'm hoping in the sense that I hope this family health team will be good sports. I'm saying the whole healthcare field is going through massive change, and the evaluation of the family health teams and what they do is going to change as well, and this will be ready to embrace that. Thank you.
Deborah, one more question, and we've got to be concise. We're nearing the time limit. You seem to have bought into the argument that physician recruitment is essential, and the only way to bring in new doctors is to build them a fancy new office. What data do you have to support that argument, and why couldn't physicians not be lured into existing turnkey medical offices at the Northumberland Mall or King Street East?
A great deal of work has gone into expanding family medicine physicians. That we were in very bad shape in the province, and in fact, a wonderful study has just come out of Queen's University. The model of training for the physicians that are graduating in family medicine is about an interdependent team focus with holistic services provided on site. So that right there, you need a building like the Medical Arts Building. Why wouldn't it be attractive to go to any of the others? The offices might be there, but as I said, they're bursting at the seams. So this provides an opportunity to create a state-of-the-art medical clinic and have ability to add on as more physicians are recruited. And believe me, this is going to be an extreme challenge to the degree that there will have to be lobbying and a case made for why when one doctor retires, more than one doctor has to replace that retirement, because that's all we can do in Coburg right now, because the physicians that are coming out also want work-life balance in a way that hasn't been the case for physicians. So it's absolutely new terrain, and the physicians now are wanting a team-based practice now.
That's great, Deborah, and you're probably absolutely correct. However, I'm told that they've already leased roughly 93% of this new building. That means there's only room for one new physician. Where are we going to recruit them into this already full building that's fully utilized by current physicians in Coburg?
No, there's three floors to the clinic. The second and third floors are the family health team, and that space is designed to grow more physicians within the team. It's the main floor that will have the other services such as a pharmacy or diagnostic or midwifery or something like that.
So you're suggesting the upper floors will be basically vacant?
No, the upper floors are being taken over by the family health team practice.
And how do they have room for more physicians to practice as part of the team?
It's been built into the design.
Okay, at that point, we're going to have to kind of cut off the debate, as it were, but it's been a most lively discussion, wouldn't you
it
say,
sure
John?
It sure has, and unfortunately, we didn't get through all our listeners' questions, but I do want to thank Deborah McCarthy and Ken Strauss for coming in today and pointing out the various positions that are taken in the community, and we're looking forward to Monday night when the issue is finally resolved.
Yeah.
So once again, thank you both for coming in and
thank
doing
you, John.
This.
Yeah.
Thanks,
okay.
John. Thanks, Ken. Thanks very much, Ken.
Okay, Ken Strauss and Deborah McCarthy, and yes, there will be lots more to come on that after council, and of course, Northumberland 89.7 will be on top of that as well.